Welcome to the Bridging the Gap podcast. And as promised, stroke threatened some weeks back after Dave did a quip session on our phones, whether they're servants or masters, we decided we were going to do a podcast, and here it is. So let's get into the podcast about our phones, Dave. So first question, warm-up question for you, get your cogs turning.
Yeah.
What's your biggest phone pet peeve, Dave? What drives you nuts?
I experienced this most recently on Thursday night. We went to see George Ezra live. But at multiple points during the concert, I was watching George through different people's phones.
Yeah.
It was like literally every time a song started.
Yeah.
Literally like just enjoy the moment.
Yeah.
Like we don't need
We've lost the ability to do that. On holiday, we've seen people were... The weather was lovely. They were looking at the sea. They were just looking at everything through their phone. Until they actually got in the sea, yeah. They were looking at everything through their phone.
Just enjoy the moment.
What's going on?
What about you?
Probably, can I just say, for the record, this is not talking about anybody in particular, right? If anybody thinks I'm talking about them, especially my family. But when you're trying to...
Listen up, Sophia.
I know I do it to other people too, but you're trying to have a conversation with somebody and they're talking to you kind of whilst looking at their phone. So... Yeah. I can live to a degree with being at the same table with somebody. We've got a rule in our house, no phones at dinner time, fine.
Solid.
But if you're sat with somebody and they're sort of like, oh, excuse me a minute, and they're on their phone doing something, no biggie. But if I'm actually talking to them and they're looking down at their phone whilst talking to me, that's definitely a pet peeve.
Yeah. I've heard some people say they have like a rule where, oh, I'm going to put my phone on the table, but I'm giving you my full attention. Like, no, if the phone's on the table, you're wanting to see it.
Especially if it's screen up or if it vibrates.
Yeah. You're totally gone, aren't you? Like, as soon as you hear that vibration, you're thinking, who is it?
What's saying that, somebody's pet peeve about me might be that my phone's not at the table at dinner time, but then the notifications will come through my watch.
I've disabled that.
I need to. Yeah. I really need to. Anyway, sorry, we're just venting here, basically, aren't we? Let's try and do something constructive. Why are we talking about our phones, Dave? Why did we do the equip? Why are we talking about our phones today?
Yeah, good question. We're talking about our phones, as you said, because we recently talked about it at Equip. And I suppose we might try to do this where something that we've done at Equip, we'll then do a follow-up podcast sort of to give people a flavor of what we looked at and perhaps to entice them to come along to the next one. Or if, you know, your husband came along to Equip and you were at home with the kids, you don't miss out per se. So why are we talking about phones specifically? Why do we do an Equip on it? Our phones are just completely entwined to us, aren't they? They're involved in every area of our lives these days. So, you know, if you're still thinking, why are we thinking about phones? Here are a few examples of how entwined they are to our lives. You know, one of the big questions if you're a parent is, what age do you give a child their phone? You know, you can check your health stats, your bank account, store thousands of photos, video call someone across the world, you know, on your phone. And in the past, you'd need multiple different devices and professionals to be able to do that. Mm. And now we could just have that access. So it's important to think about how do we harness and use that for good.
Yeah.
Also, our phones, you know, sometimes our phone time, our screen time exceeds our time in the Bible, in prayer, in life group, which means, to be honest, our phones are essentially discipling us. So that's why we're talking about
it. Quite a thought, isn't it?
Yeah.
So for you, Dave, slightly different generation to me.
Yeah.
Slightly. What was your first phone? At what age did you have it when you got it?
I had, you know, the Nokia brick, the indestructible one where you could like drop it from the top of a roof and fall down and it still work. I had that. It probably still works now, to be fair. It's like literally unbreakable. I got given that whenever I went in the first year of high school.
See, I think for Kath and me, our first was probably, it was pre the Nokia brick. So it would have been like an Ericsson, about twice the size of the Nokia brick. And that was when we were first working, first married. Yeah, that's just highlighting the generational differences there.
But it's funny though, isn't it? Like that first phone, you know, they had 160 characters for a text. And a text cost 12p, I think. And you couldn't do anything to it, but it was the most incredible thing.
Yeah. I do quite miss them. I may have mentioned this before. A friend, I know two people now. I met another one in church on Sunday, and my friend from Carmarthen, who do not have smartphones. They've got basically the Nokia brick type thing. and it's just so nice.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
I'm not sure I could do life and work without my smartphone.
Yeah,
that's another question. But yeah.
Well, even a silly thing, but you know, texting on those old phones, you know, you have to say WU2 to see if, what you're up to.
Yeah,
obviously.
But I could text faster on those phones. Pressing the button multiple times to get the right letter.
Yeah.
Than I can on a smartphone.
It's so funny, isn't it?
Anyway, yeah. I've gone off. I'm starting to reminisce. Introductory sort of question. Whenever we think of our phones, I'm talking like Dave Law there. See, I would normally say when we think of our phones, but whenever we think of our phones,
I didn't know this.
Did you not notice that? I just assumed it was a Northern Ireland thing. Whenever rather than when. Anyway, whenever we think of our phones, what extremes can we swing towards?
You've spoken like me because I wrote the question. Is that what I see?
I'm just following the Dave Lawler script.
Yeah. So what are the extremes? You know, we can tend to extremes in any topic, can't we? So the extreme is we say that the phones are the worst invention ever and that they're poisoning our youth, our lives, etc. Or we can say phones are the best thing ever. How on earth did we ever live life without them?
So, I basically just said I'm not sure if I could do my life without mine, so oh dear.
Yeah, so you might hear that and think, well, I'm more balanced, I'm not, you know, in either of those extremes. But you know, actually we can have that attitude in ourselves in lots of different ways. So we have that sort of nostalgia, don't we? We think to ourselves, life was so much better whenever we didn't have phones, you know.
Whenever.
Yeah, classic. You could say, you know, we often have a rose-tinted view of the past, don't we? You know, pre-phones, there was another vice or another thing that we were worried about or thought was the best thing ever. So, again, I think whenever we think that the phones are the best things ever, sort of what you've alluded to, Matt, we think, how could I leave the house without it? You know, if I have a spare moment, I must immediately check what's going on online. We're all somewhere on that spectrum. We either think they're destroying us or we think, how could we live without them?
Yeah, that's helpful. So thinking about good aspects then, what are, for us as Christians, what are some of the good aspects of our phones?
Yeah, I mean, it almost, it's so obvious, isn't it? But if I boil it down, I'd probably say community. You know, we can connect with people like us much more easily. Information, you know, I find that funny. Sometimes, you know, you could be at, well, you say it now, don't you? Google it. You don't even think, oh, let's get...
Google's become a verb, isn't it?
Yeah, let's not get the encyclopedia out. Let's not get the dictionary out. Let's just Google it. Connectivity, you know, I can easily communicate with my family in Northern Ireland. You know, I can connect with people over social media with shared interests and passions. You know, phones are a good gift from the Lord and we should thank them for it because they do make our lives so much easier in many ways.
Yeah. Well, you just said we can thank God for our phones. You know, someone probably hear that and think God has absolutely nothing to do with my smartphone. But what would you say to that? Are they really a good gift from God?
Yeah. I think it's a good question, isn't it? I think, well, God didn't design the smartphone, did he? So how can we think like that? I find Isaiah 54:16-17 helpful. So it says, "See, it is I, that's the Lord, who created the blacksmith, who fans the coals into flame and forges a weapon fit for its work. And it is I who have created the destroyer to wreak havoc. No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication for me, declares the Lord." So what's that saying? God says that he created the blacksmith, so the creator of the weapons of the day. He also created the destroyer, which means the wielder of the weapon. Yeah. So God creates the soldier, he creates the sword, and ultimately he's sovereignly in control over the outcome of the wielding, which means, you know, whenever Steve Jobs created the iPhone all those years ago, God was part of that process. He created the world with the raw materials, knowing that one day Steve Jobs would come along and harness that with his massive brain to create the iPhone. So God was in control of it all.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, isn't it?
It is. It's good for us to be reminded of that, though, because this applies to actually any aspect of life in a fallen world, isn't it? That God can't be blamed for the evil.
Yeah.
It is not his fault. And yet, at the same time, mysteriously, God is sovereign over all this, and it's all within his plan and purposes. So I think that's really helpful to think. So, yeah, okay, you convinced me there. Those images are helpful. Sword is a dangerous weapon. Well, what are some of the dangers of our phones, then?
Yeah, so many dangers because we live in a fallen world. So phones aren't sinful, but we use them in sinful ways because we're sinners. So, you know, the good things we sort of thought about shows how phones can serve us, but the dangers sort of show us how phones can enslave us. We can be its slave. So some examples, phones can literally distract us to death. You know, we can spend so much time looking down that we don't look up, notice other good gifts God has given us.
Yeah.
Family, friends, the created world. You know, how often does this happen on a Sunday? You can be in the middle of a conversation with someone and you can feel our phone vibrate and we can be distracted from the person right in front of us. I'm sure we've all done the incredibly stupid thing at some point, trying to text or change a song, answer the phone while we're driving. Mm. Now, this is an American stat here, but in America, 1 in 4 car accidents is caused by someone using a phone.
Four.
Which is ridiculous, isn't it? Just to think, like, we are so connected to these things that we risk our lives, other people's lives. And, I mean, the access, you know, we've said access to information, but, you know, I have access to pornography and a whole list of other secret vices. So there are many, many dangers to our phones as well as blessings. I mean, that's always the case, isn't it? God gives us good gifts.
Yeah.
And we have to,
figure it out. So, there's blessings as well as dangers. And I suppose maybe in a slightly more neutral way, just an observation that phones can affect our language and the way we communicate. Yeah. So how do our phones do that, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, on a very trivial sense, my spelling and language has gotten so much worse because my phone just autocorrects whenever I don't spell a word
when
right.
You say your language has gotten worse, you mean as in your vocabulary rather than you're using bad language? Yes. Just clarifying for listeners.
My actual spelling and grammar, has gotten worse. And sometimes I'll even be typing, I'm like, oh, I don't know how to spell this. So I just try to get in the ballpark and know the phone will do the work for me. I think another way it affects our speech is that we say things via text that we wouldn't necessarily say to someone's face.
Yeah.
You know, our phones affect the way we speak because we lose all of our tone and in-person communication ability. So let me give you an example. Whenever Amy and I were dating, obviously we had to spend more time messaging rather than talking in person. The amount of frustration, upset that was caused by a message where there's no tone. Amy reads it in a way where she thinks, oh, Dave's livid. And I've just said, I'm good, thanks. What does he mean by I'm good, thanks?
So I'm guessing you probably caused more problems with these texts than Amy did for you.
Absolutely. Because, I think, to be fair, I've said this often to Mark Hall, I come across in text so badly. Like, see in person, love a good chit chat. See if someone texts me, an essay, I'll be like, great, thanks. If someone actually said all that to me,
I don't get personally. When I get your no text, Dave, I don't get offended. Just okay, just, that's fine.
That's the thing, isn't it? You know,
you could put a little smiley or a kiss on the end just to soften it, but
I'm just like, no, fine. our communication is severely affected, isn't it? And sometimes I do a voice note or just ring someone because it can clear up a lot of potential hurt or confusion. I suppose as well, I sometimes think, oh, well, I've sent them a WhatsApp, so that's okay. I've communicated with them. And actually, sometimes that's the easy way out for me. I actually need to go and spend time with them.
I think that's important, isn't it? We can try and take the easy way out, but it's not actually easier. Or sometimes we're just information dumping, aren't we?
Yeah.
So we feel we've done the job. Like, that's what we used to do with email.
Yeah.
And now we're doing it with WhatsApps.
Yeah, I suppose we found out during COVID, didn't we? Whenever we're getting WhatsApps from people, we're like, no, I want to see you. Like, actually getting text isn't enough.
Yeah, we need to remember that, don't we?
I think one last one probably is, I mean, I think my generation in particular are guilty of this. Someone sends us a text and you can blue tick someone and leave it on red for a week before replying.
Mm.
But it works both ways where I can take a week to reply to someone. But also if I send someone a message and they don't immediately reply to me, I'm livid. So it's that sort of, because we have instant access. We expect people to be instantly available.
Yeah. It's a bit like driving a car, isn't it? When the road rage comes out, I think these things can reveal what's going on deeper in our hearts quite easily, can't they?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And how are our phones affecting? And again, I'm guessing there might be good or bad stuff, good and bad stuff here, but how do you think our phones are affecting the way we engage with God's word, with the Bible?
Yeah, I think obviously, let's start with the positives. You literally can have a Bible on us wherever we go, which is so helpful. There's apps that I have downloaded on my phones, like phone. I've just got the one. I've got questions, which helps answer tough questions that people might be asking. You know, you might have downloaded this podcast on your phone and listened to it on the move. So they can really helpfully help us access God's word on the move. You know, we can take notes during sermons if we're doing a reading in church and don't know how to pronounce a name. I've done this, guilty. You can play it on your phone and hear how you say it.
I never actually thought of doing that.
Yeah, Melchizedek. That's how I learned how to say it.
Yeah.
I suppose the flip side, the negative is that we are, again, addicted to distraction. So it's easy in a quiet time to be distracted by a buzz, check our emails, do other things and spend time with the Lord. I suppose we've seen TikTok and other apps are rewiring our brains to struggle to deal with anything that isn't, you know, short and snappy, like very 10-second clips sort of thing. So I think we need to be aware that our phones are wiring us to be distracted and not to be able to focus as long. One of the books I was reading about phones generally was a study was done to see how people retained information, having read it either from a phone or paper, and it was unanimous that people just concentrate more when they read off paper.
Yeah, see, we're talking about pet peeves earlier. This isn't so much a pet peeve, it's something I've been thinking about a lot recently, and I've been trying to decide whether I'm being legalistic and hypocritical because I do it myself. But there's not many physical paper Bibles in church. Yeah. And I know I've done it. I've sat there, I'm listening to you sometimes, and I've got my phone.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at the text on the phone. I'm making notes on the sermon on the phone. That's fine. Yeah. But I definitely benefit more when I've got my paper Bible in front of me and I'm writing notes on paper.
Yeah.
I just wonder, is it good to encourage people to, not that they have to, but just to have their physical Bibles in church more? Is there something to that?
Yeah, I think... Am I old-fashioned? Perhaps. I just think it's helpful to know where Hebrews is in your Bible. It's helpful to know where Habakkuk is in your Bible. So that, because obviously that's the beauty of it on the screen, isn't it? You just go tap, tap, tap. You find it. But actually to know...
Yeah, you get a feel for the shape of it more, I guess.
I feel like... And you also see what's coming next. Like you see, chapter 4, we're going to get into this, whereas on your phone you don't have that. So I would.
And to be clear, it's the word, whether we're hearing it, seeing it on a digital screen or paper, it's the word of God.
Yeah.
We're not saying any different to that. But I just think there's something lovely about hearing the I've sounded old fashioned now.
Yeah,
as well.
I love hearing the pages turn. Yeah.
I was walking up to church on Sunday, up to the school, and I didn't bring my bag. I just had my big brown Bible with me. And it was interesting. Two or three people walked past. I could see them trying to check out what it was I was carrying. They probably didn't realize it was a Bible, actually. Yeah. But there's also something lovely about that visible... carrying of the word of God that potentially encourages other people.
I always, at my old church and at Highfields, to be fair, with the teenagers, if they showed up to, such a legalist, if they showed up to Bible study without a Bible, I was like, are you insane coming here without your sword? Like, you're completely mental. I think one last one, confession time, how it affects us engaging with God's word. There have been times in services, in sermons, I've texted someone.
Yeah,
in the
me
bridge,
too. Me too.
Like,
yeah.
Either saying,
"Well, it's you." It's you half the time that I'm texting.
Yeah, we're both bad at each other. But you know, I might text Steve and say, "Oh, could you make this announcement at the end of the service?" Or just things that you're kind of like, if it was this important, like we would get up and sort out ourselves.
But I also least the point where I'm not talking about you here, Dave. Are we getting lazy because we used to being able to do things, look something up on Google before you jump back up on stage?
Yeah.
Is that also making us a bit lazier in our planning? I think speaking for myself, I honestly think it is sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
We should probably move on, shouldn't we? This is going to be the longest podcast ever otherwise. How are our phones affecting our mental health, would you say? Because we haven't really touched on that yet.
Yeah, I think you could do a whole podcast on that. I've recently been reading a book my friend Jen got me, and it's called it's a bit of a mouthful. iGen, why today's super connected kids are growing up less rebellious, more tolerant, less happy, and completely unprepared for adulthood and what that means for the rest of us. So it's an American book, but it's very insightful. The author, Gene, sort of highlights how the internet makes us think that everyone is having the best time possible. Mm. So like the Wee Man in the Lego movie, everything is awesome because in our phones, we are constantly seeing the best possible picture of other people's lives. You know, they're on holiday, we're not. They've got a new car, they've got ripped abs, they've got a perfect family, and we don't. We are constantly being shown what we don't have and others have, or marketing and advertising saying, oh, this is what you need in order to be happy. So I think, yeah, it's such a horrible thing, isn't it? That whenever you're left out of an activity, it's then plastered on social media. Yeah. You know, I have not been invited to this thing. Or if you were in work and other people are out having fun, you're like, oh, I'm not invited. Yeah. Like, I missed out because I was in work. So
it feeds the FOMO,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And I think ultimately, screens, phones are supposed to help us feel more connected. But ultimately, if we spend loads of time on our screens, we end up being more isolated and less connected with people because we're made to be with real life. We're incarnational beings, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're made to be with real human community.
And speaking of real life, how are our phones affecting our, so thinking of our interactions with other people, us as Christians, what about our evangelism, you know, our personal evangelism? Are they affecting that too, and how?
Oh, yeah. I think Hawks said this to me, like, for him to be evangelistic with other parents who are watching their kids play football, he just says, you show up and everyone just glued to their phones.
Yeah.
He said, for him to be distinct and to be evangelistic is just not to get his phone out and talk to people, actually engage with people in real life. Because it's almost like a safety. It's a crutch, isn't it? You know, in an awkward social situation, you just get your phone out, don't you? And I've been thinking about this a lot recently. You know, I listen to podcasts or music in the gym, but everyone in that space sees my headphones and is like, oh, don't talk.
Yeah.
He's not interested in talking. So I suppose that's how it's affecting our evangelism. Whenever we're too busy taking in and not actually giving out half the time.
It's good food for thought, isn't it?
Yeah.
So sounds like our phones are a real mix of good and bad.
Yeah.
What do you think it looks like, Dave, to offer our phones as a living sacrifice? This is one of the passages I'm going to be thinking about this coming Sunday when we do Equip on, you know, self-care and being unbusy. That applies to so many aspects of our lives being living sacrifices. Where do phones come in? How do we offer our phones as a living sacrifice, or make that part of offering ourselves as a living sacrifice?
Yeah, because that's what the verse says, doesn't it? Offer ourselves. Mm. And so often our phones are part of us, aren't they? They're an extension of us, it feels. Mm. I'd probably start off by saying it depends on each person, really. So the heart of Romans 12 is clear. In light of what Jesus has done for us, living, dying, rising, now interceding, offer every part of your life, not just your phones, to him in worship. So I suppose I always find this really helpful on any sort of topic. Think about the two greatest commandments: love God and love neighbor. And I think that's a great starting point for all of life worship. Think about the ways we can love others well by our phones, which may mean for some of us putting the phone down. For some it might mean picking it up, who knows. And how can we love the Lord more, which may mean downloading an app like Prayer Mate. So to encourage meditation and prayer. So here's an example from the other night. You can decide if it's helpful. It was after 10 and Amy started typing a text, and I suggested she wait until the morning to send it because otherwise it could derail her night's sleep. So she did. She did in the end not send it. She sent it in the morning, and it then derailed and frustrated her day because she got the reply during her working day.
Yeah.
You know, was that a wise choice? I have no idea. Was I a good husband there? No idea. It just takes wisdom to know what it looks like for each person to, well, I think Ephesians 5 is helpful here. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil.
Yeah. And I think the other principle that's coming through there is it's love of neighbors involved here as well, isn't it? Going back to the information dumping thing, I'll often send a message, less often, I hope, these days, but I've often done it in the past where I've sent a message fairly late in the day because, I really need to get this out of my brain and get this sent. and I'm not thinking about the effect on that other person.
Yeah, it's
even if they don't read it when they see it pop up.
Yeah.
So we can love our neighbours well also, can't we, in the way we use our phones?
Yeah.
What about safeguards then? As we draw to a close, what can we put in place with our phones?
I mean, there's lots, isn't there? So there's time limits on apps you can put on. There's focus modes on our phones. You know, even I sometimes check my screen time weekly. It allows me to see, you know, oh my goodness, I've racked up 4 hours screen time. Mm. As for some people, they need their phones for work. So, you know, you need to regulate it for yourself. I've just deleted some apps that I don't find helpful. They fill my mind with clutter. Mm. My phone, I keep it downstairs.
Yeah,
so
good idea.
Which I'm sometimes like, well, what if something urgent happened and someone needed to contact me? I'm in an island about that. We might get a landline put in. I think I love hearing some families put all phones in a box when they're watching a movie, so you can't sit and do both. I suppose part of what safeguards can be put in place, talk about it. Talk about what does this look like in our family, in our relationship,
to put
things in place. Because, it's funny, whenever we watch a TV show, and whenever it gets a bit like creepy, scary, unsettling, Amy gets her phone out because she doesn't want to watch it. And sometimes I'm like, should we just not watch this? If you feel unsettled by it and have to go on your phone and respond, maybe this isn't helpful for us. But we need, she'll hear this on the podcast on the drive home. We probably need to have a conversation about this.
Yeah, you're right though, because we've found, for example, with the kids, they've been getting older, we try and have cut off time, certain time of day where there's no screens, no devices after it. That's shifted a bit as they've got older.
Yeah.
But it's still in place. And actually, Kath and I'd be more convicted that it would be good if we tried to match that too. So if we're saying to the kids, look, after this time, just don't be on your devices, don't have them in your rooms. Yeah. We should be trying to do the same.
Yeah.
Because it's just good for us to think that way.
Yeah.
So yeah, conversations within families, amongst friends, would be really helpful on this, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
And in terms of bringing other people to the conversation, last question.
Yeah.
Any books or resources you'd recommend?
That IGN book is really helpful. Someone can borrow it if they want. I think it's particularly helpful for parents. At one point, they make a case about how religion, phones are affecting people's religion and people are less religious. They make a real funny comment. But strangely, in the evangelical church, this has not been affected. We're not sure why. I wonder why. So that's helpful just to think about, oh my goodness, there's just lots of evidence out there about the dangers of phones. Then Tony Ranke's 10 Ways Your Phone Is Changing You, really helpful.
Good one.
As well as God, Technology, and the Christian Life by Tony Ranke as well. He's doing a lot of thinking about this. St. Ebbs have a sermon series on the connected life, which I haven't listened to yet, but Vaughan Roberts is always helpful on this stuff. So, you know, if you are a sermon or podcast listener, I'd jump on those.
Yeah,
that'd be good.
Brilliant. And keep having conversations with each other and with us about these things too.
Yeah.
That's the other thing to say, isn't it? These podcasts, if you're listening to them, let's make them a start of a conversation.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, please do come along if you can to Equip Sunday evening. So it'll be, I still don't know exactly what to call it, but trying to be less busy or unbusy and self-care in the busyness of life is what we'll be looking at and how we can help each other in that. And obviously back to Hebrews, Dave Lawler, Sunday morning.
Yep.
So see you then.
Lovely.